Last time on Culturefile, we heard from Shannon Matten on how engineers might benefit from more emphasis on the ethics of their activities. And this time we have another take on what lessons are worth learning, in this case gleaned from a conversation with writer, critic and former head of the Royal College of Art, Professor Christopher Frayling. Frayling, a regular visitor to Ireland, is interested in the role of craft in art education and in having a good argument, at least when goaded by Culturefile. Files Eleanor Flegg.
You've described craftsmanship as a word to start an argument with, so I wondered if we could have a little fight.
Well, there's a big argument going on in the fine art world. What about artists who produce this conceptual work and get someone else to make it for them? What's that about? And isn't it more interesting if the artist can actually make his or her own work? That's one argument. Another argument in the world of philosophy is sort of digital versus analog. You know, in this world of screens and digital technology, what about real things? What about actually doing things? What does that mean in a digital virtual world? So there's an argument going on about that. There's arguments in education about the importance of making in addition to the three R's. So virtually all levels of life where visual studies are concerned, there's a debate at the moment about craftsmanship. I mean, I'm beginning to wonder whether the word craftsmanship hasn't outlived its usefulness. It's one of those moments, like in science, where you get a huge sort of paradigm shift where the arguments don't work anymore, and what you need is a whole new vocabulary to describe it. So I'm beginning to use the word workmanship, which I find a little bit less baggage attached to it. I think workmanship has a huge place in the modern world at all sorts of levels. At a sort of spiritual level, the importance of making things. I mean, as human beings, one of the things that distinguishes us from animals is that we like doing things well, we do things for their own sake, and we like play, we like using our hands, mental manual coordination. So that's very deep. And I don't know what happens if we lose that. So that's at a very broad level. But also that screens will take you so far that, what about communal activities? When people are working with their hands, they talk to each other about their expertise, they develop their expertise, they have very deep learning, which is the product of thousands of hours of experience in order to be able to do it. And it's the polar opposite of skimming, of surfing, of taking, going along the surface of things. It's deep learning rather than skimmy learning. This is very, very important in the contemporary world as a counterbalance to all the kind of surfing that's going on screens. So I think, if anything, it's more important than ever. You know, William Morris in the late 19th century was shouting about the importance of the crafts because of industrialization. I think you can double that with the importance of the crafts at a time of the third industrial revolution, the technological revolution which we're going through at the moment.
You mentioned the three R's, and I think that's a concept that's evolved historically.
With the help of some research students at the Royal College, I've been digging a bit about the origins of that phrase, the three R's. And the first thing we found in the 18th century was the Lord Mayor of London giving a speech about education, where he talked about the three R's: reading and writing, number one, arithmetic or reckoning, numeracy, number two, and wroughting, or writing, W-R-I-G-H-T-I-N-G, as in shipwriting, wheelwriting, etc., making. So we dug a little further and found this stained glass window near Exeter in the West Country of England, which actually embodied in the stained glass window is this triangle: reading and writing, reckoning, and making, wroughting. So when did it change? When did wroughting go out of the picture? When did making get lost from this triangle? And I think it was roughly in the mid-19th century, in the era of Mr. Gradgrind and Hard Times and Industrial Revolution and all those things, where the Victorians weren't awfully into wroughting, so the three R's: reading, writing, arithmetic, and there it stayed ever since. I believe passionately that in primary and secondary education, the basis of a well-rounded education is learning how to read, learning how to write, learning how to count, and learning how to make, having a relationship with materials. One of the paradoxes of the crafts is there's this whole world of craftsmanship outside art schools, of, you know, dry stone walling, basket making, which are still alive in rural areas in Ireland and in England. But talking about art schools for a moment, within art schools, from the 1970s, the crafts developed what I call this Cinderella complex, which is they didn't want to be in the kitchen anymore. They all wanted to go to the ball. And so they wanted to become artist craftspeople, studio potters, and be very arty. Fine. But in the process, what tended to happen educationally is they lost the grammar. They lost the deep technique that a craftsperson needs in order to sustain an existence. They wanted to fly before they could walk. They wanted to speak the language before they knew its grammar. And what's happened in art schools all over Western Europe and in America is that the basic making skills have been downgraded or shunted onto technicians, if you're lucky enough to have any. But the actual students want to fly from day one. And it's fine for the superstars who make it in galleries and can make a living out of this, but what about the other 98%? When they leave, they've got nothing. They haven't got a survival pack on their back. They probably can't draw. They haven't got the basic grammar of their craft, which could be transferable. What they've got is an aspiration to be artists. And it worries me. It worries me a bit that it's actually very noble to be in the kitchen. You know, the great thing about Cinderella is, I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have a decently designed casserole? Or, I don't know, all sorts of kitchen utensils that are marvellous. You can't all go to the ball. The ball gets too crowded. And actually, it's not worth going to if too many people go to it. A man I rate very highly who... he's rather unfashionable at the moment. His name's Herbert Read, and he wrote about a book called Education Through Art in 1944. Little book, very, very important, I think. And in it, he made the distinction between teaching to art and teaching through art. Teaching to art is teaching the techniques of being an artist. Teaching through art is all the things that learning art seems to do very well. Solving your own problems, flexible thinking, creativity, getting used to a world where the goalposts keep shifting, finding your own voice, being original, all sorts of things which art seems to be very good at teaching. And he called that teaching through art. And I think there should be much more of an emphasis on teaching through art in art schools and slightly less emphasis on training to be superstars.
Professor Christopher Frayling there in conversation with Eleanor Flegg. It's the Culture File Weekly tomorrow evening with outings to Ballydehob, Cork City and the dystopian future. That's all in the Culture File Weekly, Fridays at 7, here on RTE Lyric FM.